No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'll be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. We got a full crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And if that weren't enough, we have an additional flight instructor with us who just got back from her cross country, or as Keith liked to correct me before we started, what is this, cross world flight, you think, Keith? Is that more appropriate?
I think that's certainly more appropriate than cross country.
Yeah, because she literally flew from Las Vegas to
countries, because there are multiple countries involved.
Yes.
All right, well, we'll just let her explain it. I'm talking about Abington, and she is on Just Plane Radio to help us out. Abington, welcome, and how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Good.
We're great. Now, the good thing is that Abington was flying a plane from Vegas to Indonesia, right? That was the final destination. Am I right, Abington?
That's correct. I actually picked up the plane in California. But yes, I did have to locate myself over to Tracy, California.
There you go. And you flew the same route as this unlucky sap that just ditched his Cirrus between L.A. and Hawaii. But you didn't get near as much publicity online with the video.
Thank goodness.
So. Yeah, that was a good thing. But you didn't have to ditch your plane. We're going to talk about that because that was the exact same trek you went, or the first leg of your flight for your flight delivery of the planes you were flying, correct?
That's right. He did leave out of Tracy just like I did. He probably had the same tanking done by the same company that I work with.
Oh, really?
Tracy, so,
yeah. Now, what I've seen online, I might as well get right into this, is that, there was a problem with these excess tanks that this guy was using in his plane, and you have to put in these excess planes or excess tanks to actually have enough fuel to make it these long legs like that you were doing to Indonesia, correct?
Totally. The legs I was doing, there wasn't a leg that was, they're all around 2,500 nautical miles, so you need to have extra fuel tanks in the cabin that either feed the engine directly or feed your wing, depending on how it's set up. So,
Yeah, so picture this single-engine plane that Abington's flying, and literally she's the only one in the plane. She's the captain. She's the pilot in command, and the only thing in there with her are gas tanks. Confining a tad to me, but that's more or less what you have to do to have enough fuel to make these legs, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. And, it comes with the territory. You just kind of suck it up. And luckily, I'm a whole big whopping 110 pounds soaking wet. So I've got plenty of room in that pilot seat, even though I only have one seat. So it's okay for me. I don't mind.
Yeah, you don't mind. You just fit right in.
And all the
there.
Extra fumes help you pass the time.
Yeah, it's true.
They do.
Exactly. Yeah, you're flying high, literally, more ways than one. All right, so you have that, but evidently this poor sap had a problem with that excess fuel tank. It clogged up on him, or the fuel wouldn't get there from inside his cabin to the engine, and he ran out of gas before he could make Hawaii. Is that what happened?
Well, nobody really knows. I keep hearing a lot of stories about it, and I watched the video, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But the two stories that I heard is, one, he ran out of gas because of bad winds. And this other story is that he had a valve malfunction, so he couldn't get fuel from one of the ferry tanks into the plane.
Yeah, that's the version I heard.
Yeah, that's what I read. I saw some video literally right before we went on the air. It said something to that effect. Like, that excess fuel tank got clogged up and it wasn't getting fuel, and he actually evidently it said something about he took his Gatorade bottle and is trying to hand feed the engine. Now, I don't know how that would have worked. You could maybe shed some light on that, because I know you had some unique setups there in your flight. But does that make any sense, that you could actually pour fuel into your engine from inside the cockpit?
Well, you could, if it all kind of depends on how his plane was set up, right? So the last time I ferried a Cirrus aircraft out of Tracy, California, where it was tanked by the one company at Tracy that does it, what they did is they plumbed the ferry system to run right to the fuel selector. So then what you would do, you're not feeding a wing necessarily. So like there's two ways that you can ferry a plane and use ferry tanks. One is you feed right into the engine. And so what you would do is you'd actually turn your fuel selector in the off position so it doesn't take from one of the wings. Mm-hmm. It goes right directly to the engine. The other way is to feed a wing. So like the Bonanza that I just took to Indonesia, all the ferry tanks were doing was filling up the right wing. So I just flew off the right wing the entire time. And when it got down to about, you know, 75% or 50% full, I would fill up that wing again. And then I would turn the ferry system off. So there's two different ways that you can do it. And in the Cirrus that I took out, it fed directly to the engine. I just fed from the ferry tanks right to the engine. So I had to fly with the fuel selector in the off position.
Right.
If his setup was the same way, then it should have, you know, he would just turn on either the front tank or the back tank. Because I think the way I had my Cirrus set up, I had a front tank sitting next to me in the co-pilot seat, and then I had a back tank. Mm. So if he had the same setup, then he would have flown in the with the fuel selector in the off position, and then just pumped directly into the engine. If he's sitting with 80 gallons in a tank, then theoretically, I mean, he had a lot of time from what we all understand that he knew that this was going to be a problem. So he was able to call everybody, which was great. You know, you want to be able to contact search and rescue as quickly as possible to just gain yourself as many options as you can.
He evidently had TMZ on his speed dial too, because
they got him to near a cruise ship and he pulled the chute there and was able to be rescued by the cruise ship.
Yeah, the people on the cruise ship thought it was part of the entertainment.
That's what they're thinking. Yeah. They paid extra for the entertainment of watching
this is the dinner show? Wow!
Why didn't he just buy a ticket on the cruise line instead?
Because he
wanted to bypass. Yeah, exactly. He wanted to bypass all the screening and stuff to get on.
Yeah, who can blame him? Exactly. That's a big hassle. Yeah, you know, it was crazy how they had this entire thing on video. So I guess that was Coast Guard video. As soon as he called into the distress signal, they were able to track him somehow.
Well, they flew out to him.
Oh, that's what it was, and they were just filming it from the airplane?
Or something like that.
Yeah. And
I think it was a helicopter that flew out. Usually heli that they bring out. And with the, you know, the way the video is structured, you know how you can see it's like just stuck on him?
Yeah.
I think it was just hovering, probably just making sure that he was all good.
Yeah.
So, you know, but either way, I really want to read the NTSB report on this because when I do a flight, you know, a lot of people have been asking me since I've been doing ferry flights now for a few years, and I've done that trek so many times and in Cirrus many times as well. Mm-hmm. People are asking me, well, was it his fault? Was it, you know, a malfunction? And I'm thinking to myself, when I depart, and I reach my top of climb, which is usually around 5,000 or 6,000, maybe up. I'm somewhere between 6,000 and 8,000 feet, because you don't really want to get that much higher because the headwinds are just pushing you back to the mainland.
Right.
So I'm usually only climbing to like 5,000 or 6,000 feet, and if I'm departing out of Tracy, California, then I've got at least 30 minutes at the slow speed because I'm so overweight to the coastline. So I'm usually at my top of climb by the time I'm around the California coast or maybe just a little bit past it. Mm-hmm. And when I reach my top of climb, I do two things. And every ferry pilot should do two things. And most ferry pilots I know do these two things. One is you test your HF radio. Your HF radio is a supplementary radio that allows you to talk to San Francisco, basically all the way to Australia. Like you can reach them all the way to Australia if you needed to. And that's, if you look at the video, you'll see like this wire attached from the wingtip to the tail, to the other wingtip.
Yeah,
we see that. And that's the antenna for the HF radio. So those are retrofitted onto the planes. So I test that. I make sure I can contact San Francisco, because if you can't establish radio communications, then you can't continue the flight. So that's the first thing I do.
Right.
And then the second thing I do is I test every ferry tank, every valve, make sure that I can feed the engine or feed the wing from every single tank that I have in my plane. Mm-hmm. If I can't do that, then I'm turning back around. I'm going to burn off some gas in the air, and then I'm going to land. And if those two things check out, I continue the flight on. So if he did that check and everything worked well, I don't know why the valve would have all of a sudden not worked.
Right.
When he was that far along in his flight.
Well, that explains some of the chatter that I've seen online, because some people are pointing fingers like, how could you dare run out of gas over the water like that? I've seen some of those comments definitely popping up there from veteran pilots like yourself.
Well, here's the thing.
What?
Who's going to be able to figure out if that valve works or not?
Oh, yeah, it's at the bottom of the ocean.
Exactly.
Who knows?
His story against against nobody's.
Wait, I scuba dive.
Abington, here's a question for you. How many Cirruses have you ferried, and have they all been plumbed the same way?
Okay, plumbing and ferry flights, San Francisco. I'm getting scared where this is going, but we'll find out next right here on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it.
There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up. You want to hit back? We're going to have to wingsuit in. It's the only way to get close. I can't promise anyone a ride home, but if you're with me, the world needs you now.
I mean, I can fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Also with us, we have Abington from the Abington Watch Company, by the way. AbingtonCo.com. You can go there and check out all her watches for aviator women and now divers, by the way, as well. But she does these ferry flights. And when I say that, I mean she ferries these planes. She delivers these planes around the world, like this guy who was attempting to do. That you may have seen the video online. I don't know. It probably made the national news, too. Have you seen that yet?
I'm sure it will.
Yeah, because that is a remarkable video that they got of the entire problem. They actually got the video of the airplane prop stopping. That was That was pretty remarkable. I've never seen anything like that. Was that news to you guys, or was that a new video for even you, Ed, or what?
No.
You'd seen that before?
I've seen Crop Stop.
Yeah, what about you, Abington? Is this just me? I just haven't been in the biz long enough to see this type of stuff, or what?
No, this is the first time I've seen a video like this. Ha! I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, yes. I think it's amazing, too. But like I say, as far as seeing a prop stop, that's kind of common.
On video it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well,
when they have engine failures and so forth.
Yeah, okay, maybe. Well, but still, it's impressive stuff to see.
Oh, yeah.
And you can really look at the video and analyze exactly what happened. Now, talking about the similarities between what you do, Keith was asking Abington about how her plane was plumbed. Now, that wasn't code for anything. This is about her ferry flights, right, Keith?
Just, yes, that
just
is
so
correct.
We're clear.
Yes.
But what are you getting at with that? What are you trying to ask her? What do you mean?
Well, she said that she's ferried a couple of different Cirruses. And so right. I'm just asking her if all of the Cirruses that she has ferried were all plumbed the same way, or if there was differences between them.
Well?
No, they were plumbed the same way, where the ferry tanks fed directly into the fuel selector. They were not feeding a wing. So I took two Cirruses last year, one to Hawaii, where another pilot picked it up and delivered it to South Korea, and then I took another one to South Korea. So
okay, and then in both of those situations, to feed the oil, I saw this in her Facebook post on her latest little track there, you had a bug sprayer that was full of oil. directly going from the cockpit into the engine. That was crazy. It was like something you picked up at Home Depot on your way out of Vegas, or what? What'd you do?
Yeah, it's very certified airplane equipment from Home Depot. I'd say it's just one of those fertilizer pumps, and you just build up the pressure and then release the valve or the manifold, and then it will shoot oil into your engine while you fly. It's just one more hole drilled into your firewall, so it's pretty cool. And the Cirrus I was delivering, they were older. They were like 1999, 2000. Mm-hmm. So. I don't know what year his was, but when you have older airplanes like that and single engine, you totally want to make sure that, you know, you have not only enough fuel, but you keep your engine nice and happy for, that's a 15-hour flight typically.
Nice.
In the SR-20s. I was delivering SR-20s. I think he was in an SR-22, so his legs probably would have been about 12, 13 hours.
Well, and in that scenario, too, you buy a new Cirrus, you get a free bug sprayer. Or something.
Yeah.
It's like a toaster at a bank kind of added value thing. I hear you. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, what about the way this Cirrus landed with the parachute? Now, I've seen the videos before, especially the demonstration videos of the Cirrus having that parachute option on it and how it has saved lives and things. We actually saw this video, and this is the first time you see, well, it was the first time I've seen one in action and actually literally saved this guy's life. And it was pretty impressive how it worked. However, after it hit the water, and I know I'm not alone when everyone was watching that video and like, okay, how hard is this thing going to hit? Is it going to just break the plane apart when it hits the water or what? You know, and you're bracing for impact watching the video. It's pretty compelling. But it hit firmly, but it didn't look like it was, you know, anything more than you would expect. I don't know if you're taking a bump on a roller coaster or something, just from what I saw in the video. But then after, and he starts climbing out of the plane, well, the parachute's still going because there's wind going on, and it's starting to blow the plane over, right?
Yeah.
So there should have been some way to disconnect that parachute, or is there a way, do you think, or no? Or
There's not a way. And the parachute is really intended for the point of impact. And when you're doing a water landing, you want to get as slow as possible without stalling the aircraft. So pulling the chute was definitely the right action to take. I've had numerous discussions with the Cirrus I've flown and delivered, and when I used to work for Cirrus as a demo pilot, about when to pull the chute and when not to. The way he did it, I think, was absolutely textbook on point. And when you crash that airplane, there's a couple things that the aircraft is built for crash. There's a roll cage built in the fuselage. He had the door open. You can see that in the video when he planted on the water, which you should do. When you're doing a water landing, if you pinch your door shut because of any type of impact to the fuselage, then that's that could be deadly. And so the fact that he had the door open was the right choice when you're over a water landing. Now, I believe the company says keep the door closed, but that's for land landings, if you're going to crash down on lands. Because if that aircraft does roll, then you are protected by the roll cage, which is also built in the door. So on water, you don't really, there's never really that situation where it's going to roll and you would need to be protected from trees or ground or anything like that.
Right.
You've just got water. And the last thing you want to do is be trapped in an aircraft and water starts filling in.
Now, do you want to have it all the way open like that or just unlatched?
Well, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard with Cirrus doors because when you do open them, they kind of open like a DeLorean, where they just space invader style, just open up and you can hear it. So I don't think, I wouldn't be holding the door shut while I had it open and then just held it close. I probably would have just let it fly open like he did. I would want to get out of that aircraft as quickly as possible with my raft and with all my survival gear. So, I'm in agreement with the way he landed it. Some people have different opinions, but that's the way I would do it if on my next ferry, if that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it is interesting how quickly the airplane flew over and started to sink because that parachute did catch the wind.
Right. I'm wondering if it had not caught the wind like that, would have it just stayed afloat like a boat?
Would he have had more time?
Sure. He had more time probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably would have had a little bit more time.
You do notice that with he was sitting in the raft on the wing, and when the airplane flipped over, that flipped him into the water.
Yeah.
So then he had to get back in the raft.
Yeah.
Yeah, as the plane went down, you saw him climbing, laying on what was the raft and then climbed into the raft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, he was thinking it would just go straight down and the plane would float away underneath him and he'd be in the raft all dry. Didn't happen.
Psych.
Yeah. Well, he had to make it look good for the people watching on the cruise ship. That would have been kind of boring. Sinking to the video. Right? More coming up. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings. Can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We're your crew. And with us, we have Abington, who just flew it was a Baron that you delivered to Indonesia, right?
Bonanza.
A Bonanza. Okay. It starts with a B. So
yeah,
yeah, that's worth a half a banana or something.
Nope.
But she didn't crash it like this poor sap on the video that we saw this week. And, it's interesting. You watch this kind of stuff, and I'm sure this applies to you and even Ed and Keith. Do you see something or an event like that happen and put yourself in that scenario? And, you were talking about in the last segment, I would have done the same thing with the parachute thing, but there are other things maybe you would have done differently. Or what do you think, Abington?
I don't know 100% what happened with his whole flight, but, I definitely would have been checking my valves and ferry tanks while I was still around the California coast. So that could have prevented any of these issues. If he landed with 80 gallons in a tank, that's a bad deal. Cause that's a perfectly good airplane ruined. And for something that could have been very preventable.
Yeah.
But I would have made the search and rescue call really early on, just like he did. I think he gave himself the best options by not only having the Coast Guard come out and make the beautiful film that we're all able to see, but also to have the cruise liner right there to pick him up. So that I thought was amazing. Pulling the chute, awesome. Getting out of the airplane quickly, especially given the fact that it sunk so quickly.
Yeah.
Awesome. So there's a lot of things that he definitely did do right. And I trust that I would never put myself in that kind of situation. If something happened, I would want to handle it pretty much the way he did.
Yeah. Well, and that is surviving it. And he did.
Yeah.
And so you got to give him props for that regardless, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, AOPA actually has a new seminar they're putting out called After the Crash. And if you're an AOPA member, you might be able to see where that's going to show near you. But Abington, thank you so much. Appreciate your update and glad to hear that you made it back safely. Maybe next time you'll just have to promote your trip a little bit more. Unlike this guy. You don't have to go to that extreme, but you know what I'm saying?
No. Hey, if I just get it there, it's fine by me.
There you go. Absolutely. All right. More coming up on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
A buzzard took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on a square. The buzzard tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top."
That AOPA seminar that they've just released, I just got my postcard from them. It's called After the Crash, Surviving an Aircraft Accident. How timely. You get this in the mail literally the day after this video hits the web of this guy in a Cirrus having a ditch between L.A. and Miami or Maui, I guess, or Hawaii, yeah. And it was good to hear it wasn't Abington.
Yeah.
What's
different
that?
Oceans altogether.
Miami and Maui.
Well, it could happen.
Long ways away.
Well, it's the same body of water.
No.
They're all connected. Yeah, they are.
They're all connected.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Anyway, it's very timely. And maybe you could pick up a few tips there. I mean, some of the stuff Abington shared, I thought she could shed some unique light on this whole incident, being she just did this trek herself. And it is interesting to read all the comments online. And from some pretty prominent aviators. I saw some famous names out there, I don't know, poking holes in this guy's story. Or just like pointing fingers at him like, "Hey, you dropped the ball. Or you didn't do something quite right." And even Abington kind of made a comment like, "If there was a problem with the fuel tanks, who should have been caught before he left the continental U.S., you think?"
Yeah.
But time will tell. I mean, I'm happy for him.
I am too.
We don't want to play CNN here.
The Crash News Network.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. Actually, the only reason it hasn't been on the national news is because of the massive snowstorm that didn't really happen.
That's right. Yeah. All the hype for a couple inches.
So they exchanged crashing for weather news. And, you know, maybe it'll filter through eventually. Because this video, I think it has some legs and has some wings. Because that was an impressive video. You're saying you've seen stuff like this before, though.
Yeah, I have. I mean, as far as, you know, aircraft incidents and a lot of it videoed from the cockpit.
Yeah. Well, that would be understandable, but to see it from that perspective.
Not that much.
Yeah. And and I'm guessing that will show up on Cirrus's promotional campaign video eventually, you think, too,
Parachute? I would imagine.
Because, I mean, it couldn't, other than the fact that the parachute did start to blow the plane over once it hit the surface. I mean, honestly, if you're flying in a plane and you thought that was the worst that could happen, I think you'd feel pretty friggin' safe, don't you think? Wouldn't you? I mean, a guy like me, I see that, and I'm thinking, hey, if my plane has a parachute, the worst thing could happen, the engine stop, and I have to deploy the parachute and land like that on a body of water?
Well, there are errors you can make with the parachute, too.
How?
It's not, you can deploy it too late. You can deploy it at too high of a speed. So there's... You know, when she was saying there's
too low of an altitude.
Too low of an altitude.
Of course.
You know, it's not the be all the end all.
Yeah.
But it if you don't know what you're doing, and there are a lot of inadvertent deployments or deployments when it wasn't necessary. You know, so it's kind of a give and take.
Okay.
There are times when it might be appropriate like this.
So, okay, there was an option, I guess, is what you're saying, for this guy not to deploy the parachute and try to do a really slow landing on the
ditching
water.
It.
Yeah.
But no, I think in this case, he has it. That was the absolute right decision.
Yeah. And what would have made that decision? Because the wind was obviously blowing pretty good. And you look, there was some almost white caps going. So I'm guessing, I don't know what kind of knot winds he was dealing with. But obviously blew the parachute over and blew the plane over. Mm-hmm. If you were going into the wind on the water, do you think he could have got down to a slow, really, really slow speed and been able to ditch it about the same way?
Well, you're just doing a normal landing on top of the waves, a full stall landing.
Yeah.
And
you just have to make sure you have the nose pitched up high enough so it doesn't catch the waves and makes it flip.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of how slow can you go and can you actually set it down on its belly.
Mm-hmm. And without, can you time the swells?
Yeah, that's the other part. That would be more challenging.
So what would make, is that just going to be a judgment call by looking at the conditions? What do I do? Would I go for this slow on the water landing or do I deploy the parachute?
I think in this particular case, I think he made the right call.
Yeah.
He's got plenty of altitude. You know, he's got plenty of time to pull that chute and have it deploy and let it come down the way it was designed to do it.
Yeah.
And with the waves the way they were, the winds the way they were, I think it was the right call for him.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
If you don't have that option, like on a Cessna or something like that,
right?
Then obviously you got to take your chances doing it the other way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out. What would make that call? The altitude?
In the over the water situation, it's a much easier call than over the land.
Well, I understand that, but I'm saying in this scenario. Right, what this guy dealt with. What would be that determining factor? You think altitude, the fact that he knew he had enough altitude to deploy the parachute and it'd give him time to slow
fact,
down?
He had plenty of time to review the procedures, make sure he's doing it absolutely right, wasn't in a rush.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, he knew for 2 or 3 hours that this was going to be the outcome.
Yeah, but I'm wondering what is, I guess this would have been a good question for Abington, like what is the protocol that they tell you in the POH there for a Cirrus like this of when to deploy the parachute and when to try just an on-the-water landing.
I don't think there is an actual black and white answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
just gotta
and
make
I think
the call.
That's the point that Ed was trying to make earlier, that, you know, sometimes it's appropriate, sometimes it's not, and sometimes people have deployed the chute and stopped flying the airplane. You know, takes away the actual pilotage because, oh, I got a chute, I'm just going to pull the chute.
Pull the chute, make sure I got my life raft ready to go and all my supplies and all that other kind of stuff.
And sometimes it leads a pilot to a false sense of security and they make bad decisions because of that. And that's sometimes also what we've seen in the accident reports.
Mm-hmm. Now, at what point do you think, or do you think it ever crossed the guy's mind that I had to seal up the cockpit when I land this thing? Close the hatch and just see if this thing will stay afloat so I don't totally lose the airplane? Or you think you wouldn't even know that?
As soon as that chute was deployed, the airplane is a loss.
Well, I'm sure it's a loss, but it's not lost. You think? Well, I mean, if you would have closed the hatch, if it would have maintained an air pocket
it's not
in the
pressurized.
Hatch. Well, it's not pressurized, but couldn't it have sealed up somehow? Not at all? No.
There are plenty of places where water would make
Air vents and stuff like that,
air
I guess.
Air vents
yeah.
and just where wires are run from the cockpit into the firewall.
Is there anything you think he could have done, though, to salvage the plane some way from keeping it to sink? Or would you even put
if
that
in
your...
If there was an aircraft carrier out there and he was able to put it down on there.
Now, that'd be cool.
That would have been something, right?
That would have been good video.
He had a cruise ship.
Yeah, not flat enough.
You know, the thing is, if he would have did that parachute right, he could have landed it on the cruise ship, couldn't he? Could he not?
No, there's no place on the cruise ship left.
Yeah, that's the thing. Maybe that's the next phase of the Cirrus Parachute 2.0. They make it one of those steerable parachutes that they could land the plane where they want if they get another, you know, like one of those paratrooper guys.
Landed in the hot tub.
You know, yeah, exactly. Why not?
The new way to pick up
No,
chicks.
They don't need a hot tub. They got the big outdoor pool there, right there with the outdoor drive-in video wall, you know. It's like, hey, look out, coming in! You'd get a standing ovation. I'm telling you. The folks at Carnival would have went crazy.
It wasn't. Well, Carnival, yes, like they would have, because they would all be drunk.
Woohoo!
That was a memorable vacation. Yeah. But I don't know.
Holland, America? I don't know. That's a little bit different story.
Yeah, they probably would have sent a few of those old
passengers
folks.
There might not remember that it came down.
Into a embolism or, stroke.
So that's the one you guys go on?
No.
No, okay.
I've not been on them yet.
Yeah, well, it's interesting stuff. And it'll be interesting, too, to once again see if Cirrus ends up using this in their marketing material. Because I do think... Once again, whether it's a false sense of security or not, it looks impressive, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like I say, it's this situation is why they have it on there, and it worked well.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that it was a bad thing by any way, shape, or form.
Exactly. And it's good to see that, he made the call and, the Air Force or what would have been? Coast Guard, I guess?
Coast Guard.
Yeah. Well, it was able to go out there and assist any way they could.
Yeah.
At least film.
Yeah.
The final moment. I guess that wouldn't have been exactly
ideal. Your tax dollars hard at work.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we can throw the basket out there for you.
Spent better than some.
Yes.
I'd say.
Yeah. And, you got a cool little vacation video to share with your friends when you get back to the mainland. This is what I did on my summer vacation. All right. Well, we got more coming up here on Just Plain Radio. Stick around.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it.
There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I could never be with someone who likes Joni Mitchell. It's Clouds Illusions, I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. What does that mean? Is she a pilot? Is she taking flying lessons? It must be a metaphor for something, but I don't know what it is.
I just want to fly. I come burning in the sky up so high. Put your arms around me, baby. Put your arms around me, baby.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. And actually, we're joined by Tom Haynes from AOPA right now because it's just timely that we're talking about this guy who ditched his plane there as he was flying his airplane from L.A. to Hawaii. And the AOPA sends me this brochure in the mail about their new seminar called After the Crash. So you guys, did you work this out with Cirrus to work out the timing just right there, Tom, or what? How did that work?
Sure, of course. We work closely with them on projects like this, and they were willing to ditch a $400,000 or $600,000 airplane for us as a result.
That's pull. That is pull right there.
Well, the funny thing is, Greg, we didn't get those. Maybe they're trying to tell you something.
Yeah, I have not gotten one, Greg.
Yeah, I'm their target customer, is what you're saying. Understood. Well, they've been tracking me. Who can blame them? Yeah. But Tom, welcome. How are you, my friend?
Hey, well, I'm kind of envious of you guys because I'm up here in Maryland where we got snow all over the place, and you guys are down there in the palm trees, so I'm missing that.
Well, I'm glad I'm not you, and we'll just leave it at that for now. But you did get to do some cool stuff. He was just in Mexico, and he got some vacation time in between all the flying adventures that he's done.
Yep.
But I know you've been keeping up on the aviation news and information with AOPA Live, and it's one of the best resources you can go to as a pilot who wants to stay in the know. Just go there and watch Tom and the crew report weekly on what's going on in the world of aviation. And I know one of my favorite topics that drive Ed and Keith crazy are drones. And if we're not talking about a plane crashing in the ocean, this week we actually get to talk about a drone crashing on the lawn of the White House. Is that going to show up on AOPA Live this week? Or what? Are you still working out the details, you think?
We're still working on the show, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. We get something on there. We certainly do a lot about drones. And, if there ever was a reason for the FAA to finally come forward and develop regulations for drones like we have been telling them to do for 7 years, this will probably get them moving like nothing else did, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. True. This is all you have to do to get the FAA to move.
So what you're saying, Tom, is that you're not claiming the drone, but
they hired a drunk guy to fly a drone because now they're claiming that the guy might have been drinking.
Probably what's going to happen now.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Is now Congress is going to get involved, and Congress is going to enact some rules and regulations on drones like they did on the ATP because the FAA didn't do something prior to.
ATP being?
Yeah. Yep.
The Airline Transport Pilot Certificate.
I knew that. I just wanted to make sure everyone else did. All right, so.
The last thing we need is a knee-jerk reaction from Congress. You're right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, interesting. I don't know. If this is what it takes to get the job done, that would make us pilots more safe when it comes to these drones and things. Maybe, hey, God bless them. Maybe this is a technique we need to put into action more often. I don't know.
I think it's a little extreme.
Yeah, but for those... for those of us who are trying to get them to relax airspace regulations around the nation's capital, this doesn't help us from that standpoint because they're like, well, wait a minute, you can't control these little drones. How is it that we expect you to control airplanes around the nation's capital? So that from that standpoint, it doesn't help us.
Okay. Well, but it could help us from the other side. To help them keep them away from some of the airports and know that it's an issue that has to be addressed more forcefully than it has been addressed over the last few years as we see this this potential problem pop up more and more.
But then they have to come up with a way to police it as well.
Yeah, and these things actually are getting small. I just saw the latest, the world's smallest quadcopter. Have you seen this?
No.
It's not even bigger than your hand. It'll fit in the palm of your hand. And you fly this thing around like a little gnat. I don't really know what the amusement factor is out of having something like that.
Take it to the beach.
Exactly. Just fly it around people's heads and things. And have them try to swat flies. Yeah, maybe that's what the purpose of it is. But these things are getting smaller, faster, more limber, and do all kinds of crazy tricks. So, I don't know. Interesting stuff. Indeed, but I'm guessing the big news for you has been this Cirrus crash in the water as well. It's getting a lot of juice in the aviation world, don't you think there, Tom, or what?
Yeah, and even in the general media, I saw that the network news all had it the other night and the night after it happened. And so, it's getting national media attention. And, in the end, it's a positive story that the guy was able to get out on the wing and get picked up by the cruise ship, was just cruising by, and that was pretty convenient. And and it all worked out. It was fascinating to watch the shoot pull.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then watch the entire video and watch what happens to the airplane once he did a really nice touchdown. And then the wind caught the parachute, it appeared, and flipped the thing over. Unfortunately, then he was able to get out and get in his little life raft. And, you know, he looked like he was just out for a leisurely little float there, leaning back, had his hat on and sunglasses and the whole bit. But
yeah. Well, he's off the coast of Hawaii. What else are you going to do? Yeah. Man, kick back and enjoy the scenery and, you know,
yeah.
get
a couple hundred
up.
Miles off the coast of Hawaii, though.
Yeah, but he gets picked up by the cruise ship and plenty of time for the midnight buffet. I mean, the guy's living large right now is what I'm guessing. Are you feeling very fortunate?
I'm wondering if the cruise ship presented him with a bill at the end. Did he have to go to the purser's office and sign?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and I wondered.
I don't know, because they don't have his credit card yet.
Ooh.
True. True.
And did they alert all the passengers on the ship and say, hey, folks, over on the port side, yes. we've got our afternoon's entertainment for you.
Afternoon air show. Watch this.
That's
exactly.
Right. Yeah, somebody dropping in for the afternoon entertainment.
Yeah, that's good stuff indeed. AOPALive.org. Go there. Check out Tom Haines and the crew. Great information every week. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it as always, my friend.
Hey, great talking with you guys. Enjoy. Have a great show.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, it's over. So it's great for many people. And we'll leave it at that. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.